story of Mert and Marge. Myrtle Spear is trying desperately to explain her mysterious disappearance plausibly. She has been threatened with death if she tells the true story of her imprisonment in Duke Sandfield's gambling club. And to complicate the entire affair, a few minutes after Mert showed up at the theater, Harry Duffy was murdered nearby. When we left her last, Mert, with Jack Arnold's help, had called Fred Hansen, the press agent for Hayfield's Pleasures, to dream up a story that would satisfy the newspapers. We'll join them in just a moment in today's chapter of the story of Mert and Marge. It is 2 hours later. The scene is still Mert's apartment. As we come in, we hear Fred, the press agent, talking.
Well, folks, I got the story all set. The reporters will have it before the deadline. Probably hit all the afternoon rags. There's nothing to worry about, Mert. Oh. Just leave it to old Fred. Been getting Coarse Dames out of jams for years.
Well, Fred, are you sure the public will swallow that story?
Sure thing. Nothing to worry about. Well, I'm off.
Oh, thanks so much for coming over here, Fred. And night.
Night, Mert. Night, Arnold.
Good night, Hansen. Thank you.
Oh, nothing to do. It's part of my job. So long.
That's a great guy.
Well, thank goodness we thought of him. Fred Hansen can concoct some fabulous tales.
And you know, his story will hit the front pages. Let's hope it isn't too fabulous.
Well, after all, I was only missing about 30 hours.
Yeah, it's getting... Oh, it's late. Why, it's almost 3 o'clock, Myrtle. Now, you can tell me the rest of the story in the morning, if you'd rather.
Oh, don't go, Jack. I want to finish it tonight.
Well, all right. Where'd you leave off?
Well, I told you Billy appeared on the scene and told Harry Duffy I ran hand in glove with you. She got real loud.
Yeah, she would.
And Duffy stood up for me. Then Sandfield said he could vouch for Billy. Said she came in there with one of their biggest customers all the time, but that he didn't know anything about me. And Duffy got mad. He said he could vouch for me, and if anybody said anything about me, he'd...
He'd what?
Well, he probably meant he'd belt somebody.
Oh.
Well, then Sandfield whistled, and two of the huskiest fellows I ever saw appeared from nowhere, hit Duffy on the head with something, knocked him out. I heard Sandfield tell him to take Duffy to room 30 until he asked for him.
See. And Billy saw all this?
Oh, yes. Then Mr. Sandfield told me he'd escort me to a pretty suite of rooms. Called it the question and answer room. Billy just gave me a dirty laugh and went back to the gambling room.
And she knew all the time where you were while the police were hunting for you?
Well, she could have made a pretty accurate guess, Jack. She saw me go up the stairs with Sandfield.
I see. Well, where was the suite of rooms?
On the third floor in the back. Beautiful little sitting room, boudoir with a gorgeous bed with a gold satin canopy, sunken bath. Oh, just the kind of a place I've always wanted, under different circumstances.
Well, I never thought your tastes were exotic, Myrtle.
Oh, lots of things you don't know, Jack.
So now you were describing a suite of rooms.
Yeah. He told me the windows were all barred, and they were. There was no telephone, no way of escape. And then he asked me if there was anything I'd like.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
I told him I was hungry and would like to have that steak Duffy'd ordered for me. That he'd have it brought right up. Then he went out and locked the door behind him. And then...
You immediately looked for some way of escape.
Right. I got a window open, but I couldn't see what was below because of the bars on the windows. I was just about to scream for help. Then I remembered he'd told me it'd be useless to do that, or to break up the furniture, that no one would hear me. And then I thought I'd...
I know. You thought you'd use diplomacy, didn't you?
Well, I was wondering just what brand of diplomacy to use. And there was a knock on the door. And then I...
Spare, here is your lunch. Or is it dinner?
Breakfast, if you must know, Mr. Sandfield.
Well, well, Miss Spear, that is your name?
Correct.
Fix it here on this table, Felix. Rather careless of someone to forget to feed a pretty girl like you. Hope this will suit you.
Pardon. Will that be all, Mr. Sandfield?
Yes, Felix. I'll serve the lady. Hope you won't mind if I lock this door.
Not necessary. I won't bite you.
Oh, but you might take a notion to lock up.
Not right now. I'm too hungry. Well, that looks good. Mr. Sandfield, haven't you kind of overestimated my appetite? After all, I'm not a horse. It's enough here for three people.
I'll be the other two, if you don't mind. I'll have lunch with you.
Oh, go as far as you like. Glad to have company. So glad you could come. Just accuse the bars on the window.
May I help you? You like mushrooms with your steak?
Yes.
There you are.
Thank you. Awfully nice of you, Mr. Sandfield, to have had this lunch prepared for me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you brought me up here and then locked me in, it kind of frightened me for a minute. I thought maybe you were going to tar and feather me or something.
I don't work that way, Miss Spear. Now, to begin with, no one knows you're here, so I can keep you here as long as I want to.
Well, I guess you've overlooked someone, Mr. Sandfield. Have you forgotten Miss Billy DeVere?
I had a little talk with her before she left this afternoon. I think I thoroughly convinced her she's never been in this place, never heard of it, and hasn't seen you since last night at Hayfield's Theater.
She's an awful coward at heart. What'd you threaten to do to her, Mr. Sandfield?
I never harm little girls. Myself, personally.
Do you just open the back door and let the wolves get them?
Yes, Red Riding Hood.
Well, you better start asking those questions, Mr. Sandfield. You know, I have to make a show tonight.
All right. Now about Jack Arnold, our up-and-coming assistant district attorney. Miss Billy said you know him very well.
Yes, he's my attorney and my friend.
I can understand his being a friend, but do chorus girls retain attorneys?
Well, it's a little matter of a man and his wife and me. The wife of a certain man threatened to divorce her husband and was going to name me as the other woman. So I retained Jack Arnold as my attorney. Or rather, he offered his assistance.
Mm-hmm.
He's also arranging the adoption of my little roommate, Margie, by the people she was left with when she was a baby.
Well, that all sounds reasonable enough, but how about the accusation of this Miss Billy that you run hand in glove with Arnold?
Well, it's just her natural desire to stir up trouble. She hates me. She'd love to have me in hot water all the time.
Just a nice girl, eh?
Sure.
Tell me, how did you happen to meet Harry Duffy?
My roommate's brother. Oh, well, he's not really her brother, but he'll be her foster brother when his parents adopt Margie. He introduced Harry to me.
What's this fellow's name?
Jimmy Minter.
Minter.
Mm-hmm.
Name sounds familiar. Now for Harry, what is your connection there?
Oh, nothing serious. He's a nice-looking fellow, and I just kind of like him. Seems quite fond of me. Well, he practically asked me to marry him.
Practically?
Well, he said he'd even marry me if I'd...
If you'd what?
Well, if I'd have him. Hasn't he told you anything about me?
I haven't talked to Harry since he retired to room 30.
He thinks I'm pretty nice.
Mm-hmm. I can understand that, but I can't understand this. A girl of your type doesn't generally pick up with a fellow like Harry.
Well,
he's definitely not of the intelligentsia. In fact, lady, I would even say he's uncouth. A typical roughneck.
Well, Mr. Sandfield, you know, to a chorus girl, variety is a spice of life.
I can read women pretty well, Miss Spear. Harry Duffy is not your variety.
Well, I haven't told him I'd marry him.
No, and you won't. Now for this Minter fellow. What does he do?
Margie, mostly.
I don't understand.
Oh, I shouldn't tell family secrets. But he's looking for a job and borrows money from my roommate to live on until he finds work. Well, he'll be all right when he gets a job.
How long has he been in New York?
Well, he came to town a couple of weeks ago.
Where from?
From his home in Oneida, New York.
What did he do then?
Well, he was sick for a while, some kind of nervous trouble, I believe. But he's all right now and very anxious to get to work.
Well, Miss Spear, I'm going in to talk to Harry Duffy. Just make yourself comfortable. Is there anything you'd like? There's a radio, the latest magazine.
I'll entertain myself, Mr. Sandfield, but please see that I get to the theater in time for my evening show.
I'll do my best. Sorry, I have to lock this door, but...
I get you. Don't apologize. So he went out and locked the door behind him, Jack.
What time was that, Myrtle?
Oh, I don't know. There was no clock in the room, and I'd forgotten to ask him the time.
What happened next?
Let's see. I tried to read. Lay down on the bed. So comfy, I fell asleep. When I woke up, I turned on the radio and heard a time signal announcing it was 5:30. From then on, I could keep up with the time by the programs. Around 7:30, I got a little panicky. It was getting on toward the half-hour time at the theater. At 8 o'clock, I heard a key in the door. It was Felix, the waiter, with my dinner. Someone locked it behind him and had to let him out.
Well, then what?
Oh, I begged the waiter to please get Mr. Sandfield for me, and he told me he was out. Then I gave him my dial phone number and asked him to call Margie or call anyone at the theater and tell him I was all right and safe. But I wouldn't be there for the show. I realized then I wouldn't get there. He said he'd do it, so... trying to ease my mind.
Well, he didn't do it. Well, go on, Myrtle.
About 11:30, in comes Duke Sandfield. Said he was sorry he'd been detained so long. Hope I'd been comfortable. Said he'd talked with Harry Duffy and been trying to check up on Jimmy Minter.
Well, did he find Jimmy?
Mm-mm. And he told me till Jimmy was found, I'd have to remain as his guest. Said goodnight. You see me in the morning. Locked the door. That was it.
Myrtle. Myrtle. Oh, poor kid, she's falling asleep. Oh, my goodness, it's 5:00 in the morning. Well, I'll hear the rest of her story tomorrow.
Mert's troubles aren't over. Will the newspapers believe the story Fred Hansen has concocted? And how will Mert satisfy the police that she had nothing to do with Duffy's murder? Be sure to hear the next episode in the story of Mert and Marge. This is Andre Baruch speaking.